is we recruit on values rather than skills. So we do a competency interview to make sure you've got the potential to do the job. But most of what we do isn't rocket science. We can train you. But what we do insist on is you've got the same values as us. If you haven't got the same values, it won't work. So you've got your values, they're right. I've got my values, they're right. There's no wrong values. But if our values aren't aligned, it's not going to work out. And I was talking to someone on this the other day, and they were talking about us and said, God, it almost sounds like a cult. And you know, a phrase I'd heard not long before was, we put the cult in culture.
Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40 Fit. Welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast. The podcast is to get successful people on, just to talk about what inspires them, what motivates them, the successes and the challenges they faced in business, how they've overcome them, what they've learned along the way. It's a really practical podcast trying to offer real value to the listeners and things you can implement on a daily basis, things around business and strategy and habits, lifestyle, performance. Hi everyone, just before I start the podcast, just want to let you know about a new private Facebook group I've set up called Brain, Brawn and Business Community. It's a group that's going to offer some really valuable advice and content just around business, performance, mindset, health, lifestyle, nutrition. Going to do clips from previous podcasts, do some live seminars, do some interactive chat conversations, offer some articles, and yeah, just going to provide lots of valuable content. Be a really good way of engaging with other people, support group. So it's Brain, Brawn and Business Community. If you search for it on Facebook, you'll be able to find it. You just need to introduce yourself to the group, answer a couple of questions once you request to join, and away you go. So it's Brain, Brawn and Business Community on Facebook. And episode coming up now. Yes, hi everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm with Spencer Gore from EMG. Spencer, local guy, business owner and sports fan. So yeah, there's more to him than that.
But not a lot.
Yeah, no, we're going to introduce it. Spence, thanks so much for coming on today, mate. And I'm really looking forward to having a catch up with you. So there's lots, obviously, we can introduce, you know, award-winning, serial entrepreneur, obviously over a 20-year period. I think the fact you've launched 7 different businesses is amazing, working in television and travel, publishing, recruitment. Such a diverse range, so you've probably seen a lot. You've got a lot of stuff you can share today, yeah. Spencer. So look, thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Is there anything you want to add to that?
No, you've made it sound very impressive. I'm surprised I've done all that, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, that's all good.
Well, it's funny because I normally have a chat with the guest before we get going on air.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we spoke off air and you were saying about when you read these things, like, wow, yeah, that's a lot. And yeah, you're one of these people that don't look back.
Yeah.
You're looking, you know, right, there's a goal, achieve it, on to the next one, which is really inspiring.
Yeah.
But actually, when you start looking at credentials, you realise that's amazing.
You do. And it's normally occasions like this when you're telling someone about yourself that you start reflecting and going, yeah, Christ, we have actually achieved quite a lot in this period of time. Because, as you say, we're very driven people in our team, and we're always trying to focus on improving and hitting the next goal. We're very goal-driven, and you forget to look back sometimes. And so opportunities like this are quite nice. They're great to do anyway, but they're quite nice to actually reflect on some of the stuff you've achieved.
Yeah, totally. And I think as well, we'll talk about goals, because goals are a really interesting one. I think we all need them, so I'll get you insight into goals. But I think what's really good, and this makes the podcast even better, is where someone, I guess, when I'm having a chat with someone like yourself that's been really successful and doing the business, it's not always probably been that way.
No.
So that's the good thing which we'll come on to.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, which makes the value there, that people see somewhere where they currently are being successful.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of stuff that's happened to get there.
Yeah.
So first thing I always like to ask is what's your first job after uni? College, how that worked? It's early days.
So, I was saying earlier, I quite often hide my background because I was a bit embarrassed by a lot of the failures that took place along the way. And as I've got older, I realised that failures are probably the best way to learn. So, I'll touch on some of them briefly. But I went to school round here, local lad, as I say. I did a year of A-levels. Decided they weren't for me. Went home one day, told my mum and dad I was leaving school, which didn't go down too well because my sister was a bit of a prefect and, very clever. And I worked in a pub just down the road from here for 6 months in the kitchens.
I then worked in insurance brokers for 6 months. £4,500 a year was my salary then, big salary. Realised opening post wasn't going to be the be all and the end all for me, so I went back and did my A levels. I have a habit of.
What age was this? So you did a year of A levels, went and did a bit of work.
Worked for a year, and then went back. So I have a habit of seeing new shiny toys, as we call it, and going off and doing stuff, and then losing interest, going off somewhere else. So I did my A levels, got into UCL, University College London, which was the third best university in the country at the time. Did a year there, did really well. Became the football club captain in my second year and failed my second year as a result of that. Lost interest. So I repeated that. And then by the time I got to my fourth year, I was the sports officer, I was the football club captain, and I failed my degree. So I didn't know what I was going to do, and I ended up working in television. There's a story behind that as well. But it just goes to show you that actually, you don't always need to go to university or get your A-levels. You've got to do what's right for you. And if you're passionate about it, you'll buy into it and you'll do it. And I was never really passionate about those things. It's only since I've found the things that I'm passionate about that I've started doing really well. So I think that's the key.
Yeah, totally. I get that passion, because for me, if you're passionate about something, you've got a real interest in it, it really shines through, it comes through. And I think that will... it inspires the people around you. If you're service-based, you're working with people, inspires potential clients and things like that. So if you can find something you're passionate about and then monetize it into work, I totally agree. I think it's great. A few things I want to ask you, actually, because I think it's really interesting. I totally agree with the point about you don't actually need a degree or qualifications in school to shape going into business. So I get that. What parts of... So you say you get bored easily with things.
Yeah.
You've launched 7 different businesses. You're very successful now. So the fact you've launched 7, is that because... is that where boredom's actually been quite good? Because you go into something, launch it, and actually getting bored to then drive on to the next thing. So you're not standing still. I'm trying to see boredom being a positive maybe in your life, instance.
It definitely is. I wouldn't say it's boredom necessarily. I'd say it's... I like starting new things. So I'm very good at coming up with ideas, coming up with opportunities. I'm very much a sort of a big thinker type person. You ask me to do the detail, fill in the gaps, I'm not very good at that. I can do it because I have done it and I've had to do it in businesses, but it doesn't inspire me. So we talk about in the team doing what you're in your when you're doing what you do when you're in your flow. So if you enjoy doing it, you're going to do it really well. If you don't enjoy it, you can still do it, but you're not going to do it well. So one of the things I've done over the last couple of years is recruit a COO, and he's transitioning over the next 6 months to become the managing director of EMJ, so he can run the day-to-day stuff. He'll still be looking to grow that, obviously, but I can go off and launch other divisions, which is my strength. So it's using your strengths and weaknesses in the best possible way. So, I don't think there's any coincidence. I've got lots of divisions and lots of companies that I've started because I like doing that, and that's what I'm good at.
So you like starting things, but looking at your history and career and what you've done, you're doing great. So you are starting things. What's the secret to the success of sustaining it? Because if you just start things and there's no, then that doesn't get you anywhere. But you've clearly had great success.
Yeah.
So how do you start? How have you started things and kept that going? What's been the secret to that?
Two things I would say. One is discipline. So in the past, I've started a lot of things and changed my mind and not had success, like my A-levels, like my university degree. And actually, you learn from those mistakes and say, well, actually, if I'm going to commit to doing something, let's do it properly, or just say no to it. I used to be one of those people that would say yes to everything. I know you from Chelmsford City Football Club. I was on the board of directors there. I did it for about 6 months. And almost immediately, I knew I'd made a mistake by doing it. It wasn't the right time or the right place for me to be. But I just said yes to an opportunity that came up because I love football. And actually, I didn't think it through necessarily. But I think you learn from your mistakes. You become a bit more or a lot more choosy about what you do. But there's also putting discipline in place. I'm not a particularly disciplined person when it comes to finishing projects. So I have a business coach I've seen now for probably 7 years, pretty much every week of the year, including between Christmas and New Year. And we do 2 days every quarter with him doing our quarterly planning. I've got a team of 8 people down there now doing a future leader course to help other people get their skills as well. I've got another business coach that I see once a fortnight. I'm a member of the Supper Club, which is 450 business owners, where I'm learning from them. So for me, it's all about personal development. And you know, one of the key things I've learned is I need to get discipline because it's not a strength of mine. So I've learned to put structures in place that I wouldn't have done in the past. And
so really your discipline comes through accountability, maybe?
And it's building the right team as well. So we use something called talent dynamics, which tells you what sort of person you are. There's different types of people. And I'm very much an ideas person. But I know that I'm not so good on the detail, the attention to detail. So we, on the talent dynamics, they're called lords. So we make sure for certain projects, we put one of the team that's a lord in there to do all the attention to detail. So it's having that balance.
You've got a team around you. How do you keep your team motivated?
So it goes back to before about what you enjoy doing. Every Monday we do a company huddle. So we get the whole company. We do it every day for the departments, but we do it company-wide on a Monday. And we go through our successes from the week and why they were successful and can they share any of that with the other team members. We go through the challenges, and if they haven't found solutions, we try and come up with solutions. One of the things we talk about, we get one person to stand up each week and do their why. So I call it the big, hairy, audacious goal, your BHAG. So for me, a BHAG is something like winning an Olympic gold medal. Everyone just sort of says, well, that's ridiculous, you're never going to do that. But actually, someone's going to do it. So it's a really audacious goal that you put out there.
Love that. BHAG, I'm just writing that down. Yeah. So it's the big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yeah. So it comes I first heard it from a guy called Ben Hunt Davis, who's an Olympic gold medal winner in the rowing eight, but he's written a book now, and his coaching is all about will it make the boat go faster. But we get people to stand up and talk about what their BHAG or their why is, because if we know what their why is and why they're coming into work, why are you doing what you're doing? Because you're not doing it just for the money. You could get a job anywhere earning similar money. You're working here for a reason. And we've got people that have joined us that want to set up their own business, that have all sorts of different things. But if we know that, we can help them achieve it. And then they become really motivated working towards their own goal.
Yeah.
We get the best out of them in that period of time.
I think this is great, and because sometimes, like, no, you don't want, you want to keep them with you, and you don't want them to leave, or you're sort of stopping them from progressing. Yeah. But actually, you're identifying. So if I get this right, you're identifying what they're good at.
Yep.
You're understanding what they want to achieve in life.
Yep.
So you know where their head's at. Getting the best out of them, playing them in the right position.
Yep.
And then if they move on to the next business, you're looking great. Look at what people you're producing. And I think it's a win-win all round, isn't it?
Exactly.
Happy employee, you're getting better at the work. They're passionate because they're playing the right position. They're doing the right job.
My challenge then becomes, how do I make it so good here that you decide that you don't want to go off and set up your own business?
It's really refreshing, though. And I think, company culture is so important. Yeah. It's such a big thing.
Yeah.
So the BHAG, someone getting up talking, the Monday, the company huddle, looking at challenges, looking at the successes, that team environment, do you find, is that creating a really good positive culture in the company?
It is, yeah. We do silly little things. We do relatively normal incentives, but we also do things like we've got 10 guys, or 10 of the team going out to Vegas next year. We've got where they'll go and see a load of inspirational speakers. We've got 10 of them going off to Celtic Manor next year. We do this every quarter. There's incentives where Celtic Manor, there's going to be Dame Kelly Holmes, there's going to be Sir Bob Geldof, the people that have just achieved a lot in life. So we want them to go and meet people like that have achieved a lot in life. I think the main thing we do is we recruit on values rather than skills. So we do a competency interview to make sure you've got the potential to do the job, but most of what we do isn't rocket science. We can train you. But what we do insist on is you've got the same values as us. If you haven't got the same values, it won't work. So you've got your values, they're right. I've got my values, they're right. There's no wrong values. But if our values aren't aligned, it's not going to work out. And I was talking to someone on this the other day, and they were talking about us and said, God, it almost sounds like a cult. And a phrase I'd heard not long before was, we put the cult in culture. And it is, if you've got someone training to be an Olympic gold medalist, that is almost cult-like, but it's a good cult, not a bad cult. And so we have very few people that will work out for us, but the ones that do are really bought into what we're achieving. So it's don't try and keep everyone happy. We're in it for a business, and we all want to be gold medal winners. So we only want people that want to be gold medal winners. If you don't want to be a gold medal winner, go and work somewhere else. It's not a bad thing. Don't see that as a challenge or you were a horrible company to work for or whatever. No, we were just different to what you were trying to achieve in life.
We're talking about skills and attitude, and I love that, you're developing a team of gold medal winners. So what attributes fall in line with gold medal winners in your mind?
The again, there's a whole heap of stuff we do here. In a nutshell, it's being the best you can be. So the story we always say, or the analogy we use is, you know, if you're on a podium at the Olympics and you've come second and you're jumping up and down celebrating, I'd rather have the person that came third that's had to crawl onto the podium because they've given absolutely everything. If you're jumping up and down in second, why don't you work a bit harder and try and come first? So it's that mindset of
mentality.
I've given absolutely everything I can. I can't. You might not be a winner, you might not be a gold medal winner, but you've done absolute best you can do to get there. So you're your own gold medal winner in that sense. So yeah, I'm never going to win an Olympic gold, but I could train to be as fast as a 100 metre sprinter as I could be.
Yeah.
But so it's just doing that as much as you can be to be the best you. Personal, it's all about personal development.
Yeah, I think it's great points. So something that strikes me when I talk to business owners is daily habits people have. So we're talking here about an attitude thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any daily behaviours? So do you have daily habits that you're consistent to? Yeah. Do you have like a morning routine, an evening routine? How does your day sort of look that you can share that's either positive or negative that you might need to work on and that can help you?
So, I have a default diary. So I set a default diary up for the week, and it's a bit like Tetris. You can move stuff around, but you have to do all of these things in the week whenever it is. So if I'm suddenly doing a meeting on a Tuesday that I wouldn't normally do on a Tuesday, I move from what I would normally do on the Tuesday to when I would do the meeting. And so it's flexible, but it's a default diary.
So there's default diaries, basically. There's certain things you are going to do. They're scheduled in. They're there.
Yeah.
They have to be done.
Yeah.
And they might move or they're set.
But within the day, they might move. So my morning routines, I generally get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I get into work about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I tend to, and I've only been doing this for a couple of months, but I tend to shut my office door. It's a glass door, so I can still see what's going on. But otherwise, I used to spend an hour saying good morning to everyone as they drifted in over the hour, and it wasn't particularly productive.
So people know if the door's closed, you're getting on with it. They know it
I've
works
I've literally
for you.
Got a do not disturb from a hotel sign on that there.
Wow,
the
okay.
So the door's shut.
So that's telling you.
So it's open
from 7 to 8, 1 hour, 7 to 8.
It's normally 7 till about 8:30 now.
And people and know that you're getting stuff done.
Do not disturb.
So what are you doing between the hour and a half?
So I do. So this is another thing I've done. So I used to wake up at 5 and pretty much straight away I'd be on my phone checking my emails, checking whatever it is, social media, blah, blah, blah. Now I don't look at emails till 10 o'clock in the morning. So that first part of the morning is all about creative stuff. So if you tend to look at your emails, you tend to start reacting to stuff.
Yeah.
Because someone's done this, someone's asked you to do this, you've got this, and you're reacting, and your whole day ends up being quite reactive then. Whereas, I'm not sure you actually get any more done, but you certainly feel a lot better for it. Doing your creative stuff in the morning when your mind's fresh, you're not being disturbed, you've not got to react to stuff. And actually, when someone first suggested this to me, I was like, that's never going to happen, I can't do that. And now it gets to sort of 10:30, and I think, oh, I haven't checked my emails yet. And funny enough, the world hasn't ended. There's nothing that's...
Definitely.
If it's really urgent, someone will ring me or they'll knock on my door and say, look, I know you're not. I'm not supposed to disturb you, but this is it has to be dealt with in the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a habit, isn't it?
It's a habit.
Into the office, productive time, 7 to 8:30 is very productive for you.
Yeah. So I've always planned my day the day before as well. So 4:30, I'll sit down and plan the next day.
Great. So
and
when you're coming to the end of the day, just before you leave the office, you get your day set for the next day.
Not generally just before I leave the office, but at 4:30, I'm generally in the office till about 7:38.
Okay, but you're always planning it at 4:30.
4:30.
That's interesting. What about if something else happens that you need to adjust the diet day?
It's always flexible. But the reason I do 8:30 is because I've got an assistant that comes in, and her office hours are to 5:00, so I don't expect her to have to stay late. So we do it at 4:30, so that if she has to be at the door at 5:00, she can be at the door at 5:00.
Yeah, it's just another routine.
And at 8:30 on a Monday morning, I'll generally preview the week coming up to make sure that if there's a big meeting on Thursday, I've remembered about it and I've prepped for it and stuff like that. So again, it's just habits. It's just making sure you're ready for everything.
Great. I love that prep. Prep's so important. Because things don't just happen. You know, from my perspective, and it's relates to fitness and stuff. Clients we work with here and. From that, and just generally business owners and how it works, things don't just happen accidental.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be a strategy, behaviours in place to do it. You know, you don't just suddenly come up with a great idea, or you don't just suddenly have that workout and things. If you've scheduled it, you know 7 o'clock's productive for you. If you're clearing away by not checking emails, not having social media, putting your big hotel do not disturb sign on the thing, but it's giving you an hour and a half headspace.
Yeah.
So that's very predetermined,
yeah.
structured
yeah.
sort of a behaviour there
yeah.
in place yeah. that allows the headspace. So it's not accidental then, is it? Do you know what
it's
I mean?
Not, so this is the sort of stuff I've worked on because I'm not very good at the detail and the finish off. So I probably overcompensate with this stuff, but it's really good. I've got this. Let me show you this. I every day I plan my day out to pretty much the half hour. So it's I literally have it what I'm doing, what hour of the day.
Yeah.
And I'll have my notes there. So it's literally
amazing, yeah.
Planned out it's in quite, that much
yeah,
detail.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same. So for anyone who's gonna, because I'm also recording it, so anyone listening
sorry.
To that,
yeah.
no, it's all good. Suspense. You've got like a journal out, and I'm the same. I journal. I literally, yeah. I'm compartmenting everything yeah,
yeah.
in my day.
Yeah. It's quite geeky, but my wife.
No, but how productive does it make you?
Massively.
How does it feel in your headspace as well?
It's so much better. It annoys me at the end of the day if I've ever slipped as well. It's I'm that much of a sort of OCD sort of person, but. My wife will have a to-do list, and without fail, every day she goes, I didn't get that all done. Because like, you didn't plan a time for it, just plan a time for it. But she's in the habit of having a to-do list rather than a time. And
yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
So, because you're similar to me, so I'm like you, I love the creative side of things, creating ideas, developing it and working it. And by me journaling, getting my thoughts down,
yeah.
structuring my day, being very routine, daily habits, being consistent.
Yeah.
It really helps me, my creative mind, because I can, yeah. you know, when you go home, you're thinking yeah. about stuff. You seem quite similar to that. So do you find is that this type of structure and organisation with you and your journal,
yeah.
does it really help your productivity? Does it help your headspace yeah. and your...
Yeah, I mean, massively. And it helps in so many ways. Just to break down the bigger ideas and work out, you know, how achievable they are. But yeah, we talked earlier about reflecting on success. One thing a journal is great for is at the end of, we do 90-day plans. So each quarter we'll sit down as a company and we'll do basically a bigger version of our Monday morning huddle. We'll look at the successes and the challenges. And you know, you look back over the last 3 months, you say, well, what have I actually achieved? And you forget all the things you've achieved. But if you've got it all written down, it's so much. So each day we'll have our day planned out by the hour, and then we'll have 3 successes and 3 challenges. It's great to look back and reflect on what you've achieved, but it's also great to look at the challenges, because if you say, blimey, this thing's come up 4 or 5 times and it's, oh, I didn't get everything done, you know that you need to work on your productivity or your timekeeping or something yeah. like that. So it's yeah. a great way of doing it.
Yeah, fantastic. I totally agree.
It's so easy to forget what you've done over a longer period of time.
Yeah. So goal setting work.
We use a similar structure to achieve the goals. Setting them, I'm not sure how you set the goals in the first place, but most people, if you say set some goals, they might look at what they've done in the past and add 10% on or take 10% off, or you know, we tend to look at it and say, well, look, where do we want to end up? So for us, when we set the business up, which was 2012, we set a goal of 2025. That was what we were working towards. It wasn't an end goal, but that was our big goal that we were working towards. And we wanted to be the go-to place for healthcare professionals in Europe by then. So a very, very big, a BHAG, very big achievable goal, big hairy, audacious goal. And we work backwards from that, because I could say, well, next year I want to do an extra 10%. But if I do that each year, it might not get me to that end goal. So I've got to start with the end in sight. Once I've got that, I break it down into maybe a 5-year goal. And we've just done, we know what our targets are for 2021 already. We did a planning session with the team at the cricket at the 2020 to work on our 2020 goals, because we thought it just ties in quite nicely.
Brilliant.
And stuff like that. We had a
brilliant.
We had a day there. But yeah, we'll break it down. We'll get to the annual goal and we'll break it down into 90-day plans, and then the monthly and the weekly and the daily. And as you said, you've then got to make sure everything you're doing that day is moving you a step closer to the goal. Because if I look at it as a sat-nav. If I say my ultimate goal is to get to Glasgow and I want to be there in 3 days, if I sit off and do 10 miles today and go, oh, I haven't quite got there, I'll add 10% on tomorrow, and then 10%, I'm not going to get to Glasgow. Whereas if I say Glasgow's, I don't know how far it is, 400 miles away, I know that I've got to break it down and do, you know, whatever that is a day. And if I do that, I will get there. And actually, we tend to set 2 goals. So we'll say, this is the goal we're working towards, but this is our stretch goal. So we have that there just to say, because otherwise people can say, oh, I'm on target now, I'll take my foot off the gas a little bit.
That's good.
And we put incentives in place.
So it's the same goal, it's the same almost goal sort of, but the stretch goal is actually even better, even better yeah. that on top of that goal.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
So we so for this year, we said within EMJ, we wanted to have a last year we did just under 3 million turnover. We said next year, or for 2019, we want to do £5 million, but actually our stretch goal is £7.5 million. And what we did is we built a load of incentives in place for, if we don't hit the target, we'll still get this, because that's what we give you guys anyway. This is some of your incentives. If we hit the 5 million target, you're all going to go to Monte Carlo, and we're going to, because we were all building it around 2021, which we've already got, which is all around the casinos and gambling, blackjack and all that. We use that as a so we put a theme around the goal as well to make it memorable for everyone.
Great, and really, brilliant.
And then if we hit the 7.5, it'll be a Las Vegas incentive. So we tied it in with the casinos and the gambling, and not that we condone gambling.
No, but that's fun. So it's real life. It's people enjoying themselves.
We do a ball every year, 2 days where we have. Everyone goes down to, this year we went to Seckford Hall, stately home out in Suffolk.
Yeah, no.
We did a planning session. We had Krista Cullen, who won Olympic gold with the hockey in Rio. She came and did a presentation. We did some team building stuff. We did some archery and laser clay pigeon. Then we have our black tie do in the evening, where we do all of our awards that are all values based, not results based. Then everyone gets the next day off work. So what we said is, next year it's going to be in Monte Carlo. And the year after that will be but if we hit our stretch goal, that will be in Vegas. So it's putting things like that in place and just encouraging the people to really push themselves.
Yeah, and I think going back to, you know, you've got your long goals and then breaking it into the quarters that you said, so you're basically reverse engineering the goal. You're going from what it is, reverse engineer it back, the steps you need to do that. And I think this is where journaling can be really good, or writing things down and making sure you're ticking it off, because if you're spending time each day looking at little mini targets you need to hit to get to your goal.
Yeah.
If you don't hit it that day, and the next day you're not doing anything, like you said, you've got to seriously ask yourself some questions. Well, where am I wasting time?
Yeah.
Why am I not doing it all?
Yeah.
And then this is where writing it down is really important, isn't it?
Very much so. And breaking it down into, if you just set a monthly goal, and you don't break it into the weekly or daily, all of a sudden you get to the end of the month and like, oh, I haven't done that yet, I better do that today. And quite often it's too late to do it then, because it was months worth of work. So if you've broken it down into the dailies, how do you eat an elephant? You break it into small pieces.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing here is, and this is something for me, I'm chatting to Callum, and Callum's on videographer, anyone's wondering who Callum is, and we were chatting about it yesterday actually. Said, oh, open the gym. You need. So this has always been an ambition of mine. I haven't had my gym.
Yeah.
The space was opened 3 years ago. Four years ago. Been open a year now.
Yeah.
And if I just thought I'm going to open a gym, that can be quite a big daunting thing. So I know you've got your stretch goal.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a question in a minute, but for me, if I said I'm going to open a gym, that's quite a daunting thing. So what I did is we had to just break it down.
Yeah.
Not worry about the gym opening. Yeah. Like you said, I'm opening a gym. What do I need to open the gym?
Yeah.
And all I focused on is hitting the things I needed. So small, the daily targets, the weekly targets, over a period of 2 years, what I knew was going to open the gym.
Yeah.
So it just meant then that it wasn't going to get to and open a gym. It just made it easier.
Yeah.
So by doing it that way, it wasn't too stressful. God, that's, a huge goal. It's actually, there were steps in place to get there.
So
the question I want to ask you is, you've got a stretch goal.
Yeah.
How do you not make that stretch goal daunting for people?
I think the stretch goal should be daunting.
Okay.
So the goal is the one that we've sat down and we've said, based on what we know, can we achieve this? So for you, it might have been, I want to open a gym in 12 months' time. Now, you'd broken it all down and you thought, yeah, I can do that. That's achievable. I'll do this quarter. In the first quarter, I'm going to break it into months. And actually, this week, I need to, first of all, go and look at the space and see what I need to do, blah, blah, blah. Now, if I said to you, right, if your life depended on it and you don't do this, you're going to die. You've got to open that gym in 6 months. Could you do it? And all of a sudden, straight away, most people say, no, I can't do it, can't be done. We've just worked out the plan, it's 12 months. What, so you're just going to sit there and die, are you? No, okay, fair enough. I'll start thinking about what I could do differently. So we did this with our guys a couple of weeks ago. We had our quarterly planning, and we'd worked out some figures for next year's revenue, and we wanted it to be around £12 million for next year. And so we went down and we went through all the teams, and we said, this is, you know, how many new journals we're going to do. We're going to be launching in the US. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. How much do you think we can do? And they came up with, on different tables, and we mixed all the teams up, so you haven't got one that all the sales team are like, yeah, we could do this, and all the editors are like, no, we can't do that, or whatever it is. We mixed them all up, and they came up with, you know, varying figures between 10 million and 11 and 11 and a half and 12, I think. And so slightly lower than we wanted them to achieve. And then we said, right, if your life depends on it, how much could you do? And they started thinking about, well, if we did this, we could do this, and if we did, and they came up with like 18 million and 16 million and 17. So all of a sudden you just start thinking differently. And we once said to one of the girls in the team, yeah, we've got 500,000 healthcare professionals in our database. If we wanted to get that to 1 million, how could you do it? Well, it can't be done. We'll grow by 10%, blah, blah, blah. And we said, okay, so if your life depends on it, what would you do? She said, well, I'd go and stand outside a hospital and I'd talk to every doctor. And all of a sudden, you just start looking at it different ways.
It's actually the thought process, the perception of that situation.
It's the mindset.
Yeah, the mindset around it. So can I ask you, because obviously you're talking about all company goals here. For your own personal goals, do you do it I know you've got your career goal long term, you work it back. How do your goals work? Do you do it in 13-week periods, quarters?
Exactly the same.
And so, do you have work goals? Do you have a personal goal alongside it every 13 weeks? What does it work for you?
So I have... I would typically, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've done it exactly the same. So on our 90-day plans, when we sit down and do that as a company, we also have our personal development plans that we want to have, and we add that in there, and then I add that into my default diary. So I'm... I was hoping we wouldn't touch on it, but I'm awful with my health and fitness. I'm one of these people that wants to do everything, never get around to doing anything. I don't prioritise it. You can't say there's not enough time in the day. Everyone's got 24 hours.
Well, I know you've got time, because I've seen how meticulous you are with your diary.
I haven't made it a priority. That's of course. And I'll do stupid things. Like, I'll get really annoyed and then go off and say, right, I'm going to do a 45-mile run for charity, and, you know, having done no training and stuff like that. It's just, I'm a bit of an all or nothing, but... No, I generally will plan my stuff in for the quarter as well. I've just started seeing a new coach a month or so ago as well, and he's got me to split things into three sectors, which he calls your energy is your most important thing. What are you doing to make sure you've got enough energy? What are your work goals and what are your love goals? And by love, it can be whatever you love doing. For me, it's the family and that side of things. But I have one, he calls it your presidential campaign. So what's the theme for me for the year? So the theme for me for the next 12 months is creating gold medal winners. It's becoming a gold medal winner myself. So that's the personal goal. So the company one, I want to create gold medals. But now over the next 12 months, I want to actually become a gold medal winner. But that's my own gold medal winner, not a literal gold medal winner. And so I have what's my energy gold medal winning target? So I've set myself a 12-month target, which I haven't told anyone yet, so you'll be the first to know. I want to run the Great North Run next September the 13th. In a time of 1 hour 40, so that's my gold medal winning time. I've never done a half marathon. I've done one run pretty much ever over 5K, and that was this 45-mile run that took me 9.5 hours, or 9 hours 50. So,
knowing your attitude, where you are, you will do it.
Well, that's the let's hope so. But no, I will do it. Sorry, busted my.
Yes, mate. Yeah.
And then I divide my goals. So I've now got 90-day goals beneath that annual goal for my energy levels. I've then got the same for work, and I have the same for family as well. So it's, how can I make sure, my kids think I'm a gold medal winning dad sort of thing.
Yeah, and but it's great. But this is the reason, and this is why I asked that, is because it can't just be work goals.
Yeah.
Because, and what I mean by this is, in my day, and I don't know how it works for you, people slog 9-10 hours of work.
Yeah.
But you said, you speak about peak and troughs or flow in the day and stuff like that. You can't just go sort out for 9-10 hours.
Yeah.
So if you've got a personal goal or a family goal or other things around it, and if you're doing them daily as well, like for me, part of my, I train an hour a day.
Yeah.
It'd be in my day. You know, commit time for learning, hour of learning, possibly 2 hours of learning.
Yeah.
Suddenly you start taking hours out of the day, time for the family. Well, but... by having personal goals, other goals non-work related, by doing other tasks, non-work related tasks each day, it shortens my work time down, but it makes my work tasks more productive.
When do you start work in the day?
I'm like yourself, I said morning routine, it was interesting. Yeah. Same as you. I'm up by 5 o'clock, I'm starting my day at home,
and
learning.
When do you finish work?
I will switch off at 8:30, 9 o'clock.
And when do you go to bed, roughly?
9:45.
So do you really switch off in that last hour or so?
Work in progress.
I bet you're constantly thinking about stuff.
I am. And this is where we're quite similar. And it's been it's been great chatting about it because, and this is my. So I've got a very strong morning routine. My evening routine needs work. And it's still work in progress because.
I don't see that. So many people talk to me about work-life balance and things like that. I've got a good mate of mine. He's quite a senior in corporate land, as I call it. And he missed out on a promotion a little while ago. And he said it's because he didn't think he would buy into the business as much as they wanted him to. And he said, you know, I don't want on my gravestone. I wish I'd worked harder. He goes, I've got things outside of work. And you know, he was really anti putting more hours in. But for me, I don't want on my gravestone. I wish I'd got dressed in lycra and gone cycling more, because that's not my thing. That's his thing. So you've got to look at what's right for you. And for me, my hobby is work. I love creating gold medal winners. I love what I do. That is my hobby. One of the questions you were talking about before is, what do you do to relax? I like working. That relaxes me. I went off to Barbados for 2 weeks in the summer, and within about three, my wife will kill me if she listens to this, with about 3 days to go, I was just thinking, I quite want to get back to the office now.
Because
I'd had time away from the day-to-day work, and I'd had so many great ideas of how I could improve the business. I just wanted to go and implement them. So actually,
yeah, love that.
I think the challenge isn't necessarily work, it's what work you're doing or what you're doing when you're in work. If you're doing the boring, more boring day-to-day stuff that isn't challenging, that's just a routine or a process, yes, that you do need a break from that. But actually, by you saying you do an hour in the gym every day or whatever, you're probably still working. When, you know, I don't do a huge amount of exercise, but if I ever go for a run, I have some brilliant thoughts about work because it clears my head of the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, and there's a few things here. Like, so I get that as well, and I totally, and we're really similar like that. Like, I love what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm grateful. I feel really blessed, and I'm really fortunate that I'm able to love what I do. I love business. I love growth. I love fitness. I played football for 19 years, and I loved it. So I'm really grateful for that, and I generally am. And I love what I do. So going home at, say, at 9 o'clock, I'm going to read, or 8:30, I'm reading. I'm reading a business book or a development book.
Yeah.
Because I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not...
That's not your hobby.
So I love it. So I get it, and I'm really passionate about it. So it's really refreshing hearing you talk about it. And the other thing... So my day sounds a long day.
Yeah.
But in there, hour and a half of the kids.
Yeah.
I've trained for an hour.
Yeah.
I've read. I've learned for an hour and a half.
Your equivalent of cycling.
I've listened to maybe an hour of podcasts.
Yeah.
I've met with clients and stuff. So the day's long, but it's broken up. It's not 12, 14, 16 hours of solid work.
Yeah.
But it's things I enjoy, so I'm highly motivated. So I really get that. And the other one I want to mention, and
there's a good book, just sorry on that subject.
No, please do.
There's a good book by a guy called Grant Cordone, who's an American businessman.
Yeah, really good, really good.
So it's called Be Obsessed or Be Average. And he talks about, you know, don't have a work-life balance, all these things. Have things you're obsessed with.
Yeah.
Everything else, ditch. So if you're obsessed with your fitness, your work, and your family, fine. Just do those things and be obsessed with them. Be the best you can be.
Yeah.
Don't be the things you're average at. Just stop doing them. What's the point? If you don't want to do them well, don't bother doing them. Now, that's not going to be right for everyone, but that's the way I look at things. If I don't want to be the best at it, I'm not going to do it.
It's great. It's really refreshing to hear. It's great to hear.
People are embarrassed to talk about this as if it's a bad thing, because everyone thinks you should have a work-life balance, but you've got to do what's right for you.
And this is what I was going to say. You've got to do what works for you. You have to. And if you love something, then if you can get enjoyment, you can't. I think we read something and we've got to live a certain way and we're hardwired. It's got to be 9 till 5 and you don't take your home. All of this stuff, that's fine. But if it don't make you happy, it don't work for you. Why? So I totally get it. One other thing I want to ask you. Well, I've got a few more things I want to ask. It's been great catching up, but it's in relation to this. What's your thoughts then on people go, no, don't multitask.
Yeah.
Just focus on one thing only and do that. What are you like? Can you multitask? Do you juggle a few things? How does that work for you?
I would say, well, I'm in the process of launching five different businesses at the moment. So yes, I am, technically I would say, some people would say that's multitasking.
But do you enjoy the thought of that?
I love that. That's for me, it's brilliant. It's just, that's what I do. That's what I love doing. But I try not to, I will split them up into different sections. So I won't try and do a little bit of each of them all the time. It's, right, this is my priority at the moment. This is what's going to move me forward the most today. And I don't think you can multitask. You're not being obsessed by one thing. You're being average at a lot of things. Because every time you stop doing one thing and start the next, it slows your day up because you've got to stop. It's like, the way we look at it is, you've got in your brain, you've got lots of boxes on shelves. And if you're doing one thing, you take the box out and you start doing it. If you have to start doing something else, you have to put that box away and then get the next one out. And so I personally, and again, everyone's different, I don't think if you're multitasking, you're doing anything as well. If you do one thing, do it brilliantly and move on. It doesn't have to be one big project. It can be one part of that project. So as I say, I'm working on five or six big projects, but I work on them individually at a time.
Yeah, great. So I've got a bit of a... I've learned to make this into a strength. So one of my weaknesses, and I think it goes back to self-awareness. I'm really self-aware. And one thing for me is, like, I know we have strengths and weaknesses. I'm really good. I know my weaknesses and I try and improve on them. And if you write it down, and you can be very self-aware or self-analyzed, and you can try and always improve on your weaknesses and get stronger. And what I mean by weaknesses, not that I totally agree with you, where you've said about strengths, working on them, getting other people around your weaknesses. I'm talking about personal development here, weaknesses and things you need to improve on. So for me now, I know one of my weaknesses, which I've turned into more of a positive, was that I would, I have to feel every minute of the day.
Yeah.
Can't afford to lose time.
Yeah.
So I've learned to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And now where I've got a journal in terms of I've got my learning, my development, my personal self-growth, exercise important to me, family time, lots of other things non-work related. What I've learned to do is hack productivity.
Yeah.
So I can hack it now. So, for example, I used to go into the gym and play music to pump me. I now go into the gym and I'll listen to a podcast.
I've done it. I do exactly the same now.
So now what I'm doing is I'm thinking, right, well, if I'm now going to utilise, because I know when I'm training, I'm really, and people go, no, you need to focus on doing the exercise.
Yeah.
But I log all my training, I've got my schedule, my structure, the plan I'm doing. I can see the numbers going up.
Yeah.
There's recovery between the scenes. Yeah. But I'm absorbing information really well.
Yeah.
I know, because it works for me,
that
my mind's productive when I'm training, the endorphin release, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm hacking time a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like in the car now, I won't listen to music, I listen to podcast, I listen to learning, or I make calls.
Yeah.
So I'm utilising time, scheduling where I'm doing something, I can do something else.
Yeah.
So I totally agree not to try and juggle too many things, focus on one thing, but I try and hack time a little bit.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, I do exactly the same. I'll listen to a book when I'm driving, or if I go for a run ever, I'll listen to an audio book there. What I would say is, if I know if I sit down and read a book, I get more out of it. I take more in. I definitely absorb more, because I write a lot of notes when I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm going for a run or driving, I can't make notes.
Yeah.
My theory is, if I read a book, I might take, I don't know, for argument's sake, 30% of it in, where if I listen to the book, I might only take 10% of it in, but it's still 10% more than if I'm listening to music. So it might not be the best way of doing it,
but I'm doing two things at once. But then does it go back to you that you've got to do how you learn and develop best? That's what you've got to try and hone in.
Yeah,
so for someone like you, because I'm quite good at taking on the audio, for someone who maybe not...
You might not take it in as well,
reading. You might need to find time
definitely.
To read.
It's definitely got go back to there is no right or wrong, is
yeah,
there?
Yeah. So I try and find, and that's sort of helped me, so I've tried to turn weakness of mine into a bit of a positive in terms of trying to hack time a little bit.
I think with all this, it goes back to the values as well. I always said, there's no right or wrong. It's just what's right for you.
Yeah.
And if what's right for you is right for me as well, it'll work. But if doing that way works for you to learn, do that way.
Yeah.
Be open to new ideas.
No, it is, and I think the purpose of me bringing this up, and you raised great points, and why I love the podcast is people who are listening and getting value is they might learn, take some things they might try and implement or try.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to get across that it might not work for you.
Yeah,
being very open-minded, and that's really important.
I've read hundreds, if not thousands, of books, and I've tried different things. 95% of it I don't do anymore because it didn't work. I tried it and it didn't work. But the 5% I do, or 10% I do, has made me so much better.
Yeah,
so
and that's better. And that's great. A couple other things. I mean, we've cracked on. It's been an amazing catch up with you, Spencer. And thanks so much for your time. Do you have any person? Who are your personal heroes? Do you have any personal heroes? What and why do you hold them in such high regard?
I wouldn't say I have personal heroes. So there's people I admire, and a lot of them are sports wise. Jurgen Klopp, obviously, we were talking about Liverpool before. I admire the fact that he's successful, but he does it in a nice, fun way. He enjoys what he does.
Do you know what's funny? I was going to say, the way you talk and the way you are, you start, and you're the way you are, because a Liverpool fan, I was going to say to you, you've got a little bit of Klopp in you.
I wish I had.
Say that. No, you have, though, mate. The way you know, like, you've got that positivity,
short,
that funness about you.
You've got to enjoy life. Got to enjoy life.
Yeah, sorry, so Klopp. Yeah. Sorry, mate. Yes,
yeah, Klopp. I would say Sir Clive Woodward and Sir Dave Brailsford. Just, I love, Woodward calls it critical non-essentials. Brailsford calls it marginal gains. It's pretty much the same thing, but it's breaking everything down into 100 pieces, and improving each piece by 1% is a hell of a lot easier than trying to improve something by one thing by 100%. So I like that. Someone I admire from the business world is probably Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who's the guy that owns Ineos. He's grown his business to the biggest private company in the world, and he's done it without any outside investment or floating. Or I love that.
Yeah.
And he's... If you look at what they do and how they do things, they're someone said to me once, don't look up to people, don't look up to businesses, look into businesses so you can learn and copy. So we look into how Ineos do things, and there's a lot of stuff they do with their staff that are fantastic. They do a lot of team building stuff, and I love the way they do stuff.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah, great. What advice would you give to Spencer from... So 10 years ago, let's say, or 20 years ago, what advice would you give to that Spencer then? What you know now?
I don't think I would. I'd just say, just go and do what you want to do. Just go and enjoy it. Don't think about it too much. Just do it. You know, if anything, maybe consider what you want to do a little bit more, and you know, rather than jumping around. But I'd just say, just go and do it. You know, everything happens for a reason. You know, If I said to them, don't do this, don't do that, I'd miss out on the mistakes I'd made and I wouldn't have learnt as much. So I'd just say, just go and enjoy yourself. If you enjoy yourself, that's life is short. You know, enjoy it.
So, Spence, last thing I want to ask you is just what words you live by, any quotes you've got?
Yep. I think it's just do it. You know, using the Nike logo slogan, just life's too short not to do it. So I'm always, aim big, and if you get close to it, you're going to get a lot further than you are now. So aim for the stars, and if you get the moon, you're a lot better than you are now. So
But I think for you, that was a really good thing you said earlier. For anyone thinking that if they aim too big and they don't have the mindset, if they don't achieve it, that it affects them.
Yeah.
Having a realistic goal and a stretch goal is quite good for people who not maybe the mindset of you in terms of where you are is such a great thing you said. Just last one I want to ask, anything you've got going on, what have you got going on currently you can share? Obviously, I will leave this in the notes. How can people connect with you and find you?
In terms of recruitment, that's the only real big thing we've got. That's our big focus at the moment. So we'll take as many of the right people as we can find. So anyone that wants to be a gold medal winner and wants to go to a company where they can develop personally, get in touch and we'll have a chat. Best way to do that is on LinkedIn. You can get hold of me on LinkedIn,
Cool, I'll leave that in the notes anyway. Just from my perspective, thanks so much for coming on today, Spence. It's been really great catching up with you, hearing your insight. Thanks so much.
No worries, it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Cheers, Spencer, thank you.
Another really enjoyable podcast there. And I think now what's evident 12 episodes in is the consistent message from the guests I've had on so far around their mindset in terms of development, growth, attitude, determination, motivation to succeed and get better. And I think that was certainly evident with Spencer. So many take-home points, but I think what's evident in his success in business and his continued success is a few elements that stick out to me. Company culture, how important that is, and having a really good team around, having people around you with different skill sets and the skill sets he doesn't have, which collectively sets a team up or a company up for success. His approach to goal setting, where he has the realistic goal or the main goal and then a stretch goal, so that the main goal is what you want to achieve, but that little stretch goal just keeps people hungry, keeps people striving. And if you get there, it's like that's an amazing achievement. So it's great to have that there, that little carrot, that little incentive. What's impressive with Spencer is attitude to growth and his winning mindset, how he's learning constantly. He's got mentors around him and coaches on a weekly, monthly basis, the accountability and the people around him to continue to grow and get better. And I think the last bit was just around daily productivity, how important that is to him, things like the default diary he has and how he does certain things consistently on a daily basis. Because I'm a firm believer, and I say it regularly, that Our results, our success is going to be reflected in our daily actions and our daily behaviours, what we do day in, day out. So think about the things you can do on a daily basis, and is that moving you towards your goal? Anyway, guys, hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope you got lots from it, and look forward to checking in with you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. If you enjoyed the episode, then please, please share it with anyone else you think that might get value. And if you can leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. It will just help us to reach more people with a podcast. If you want to get the episodes as soon as they're released, then just subscribe to the podcast. And as soon as they get released, you'll get a notification on the podcast platform you use. Once again, thanks to everyone for listening. And if you want to get in touch with me at any time, then just drop me a message on LinkedIn, Oliver Berquez. Be great to connect and have a chat with you.